Oh, it was usually Sunday night. You know, I grew up in a family with seven children and my parents, so it was always a bit chaotic. And musically, it was super interesting because my dad worked from home and he always had the classical music station on in his office. And then my sister was upstairs with her record player playing, you know, classic rock and like Styx and Barbra Streisand, Jesus Christ Superstar. And my brother was downstairs in the basement listening to Deep Purple, doing whatever he was doing. And my oldest sister was usually on the piano in in our family room working as she studied piano. So there was this huge zoology of music around me all the time. But Sunday night before 60 Minutes was cocktail hour, and my dad would make old fashions and he'd bring out the Glenn Miller records. And those became really kind of a staple in my life. And we would just sing along and we would listen. And he would talk about Tuxedo Junction and all of this. And it was a huge part of our upbringing.
Let's talk to this idea of the different approaches of classical music versus jazz and how you really melded the two together in this project.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I've sung so much Baroque music in my career, and I've always talked about how essentially it was like jazz, because especially the continual arias, for example, these ones that come just to harpsichord and cello and maybe, you know, theobor. These are pieces that are just configured with chords. They're not orchestrated. And the whole idea is that we all are improvising along the way. The great jazz conductors, or I'm sorry, Baroque conductors that I've worked with, like William Christie and John Elliott Gardiner, they're always asking for more blue in the note and more playing with the melodic line and playing with the rhythm of things. And it's essentially the exact same language as jazz. It's just with a different chordal structure. And so this idea of kind of fusing these two worlds together has been incredibly organic and fun and easy in a way.
And maybe, so I'll take Vivaldi as an example. Maybe from this recording project, what did you learn about Vivaldi?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I mean, in Vivaldi, but for example, there's the one track on the album, Vedrò con mio diletto. This is one we didn't touch. We didn't alter anything because already it feels like jazz and it feels very contemporary and it feels very moody, you know, like something like a Chet Baker kind of thing. We didn't alter one note, and it's the only track on the album that we kept that way. And for me, it just drives home what I've always felt about so much of this music is if it's presented in a vivacious way, it feels incredibly contemporary, feels incredibly modern, because usually we're talking about things that are quite at hand, modern in thought and in text. And the vocal line, for example, can feel so achingly in this moment right now. And so I just think it's confirmed for me how modern the old music is.
In the press release, there's a line talking about how you sing the songs with your own voice, not trying to become a jazz singer.
You know, my whole approach as a singer is never so much been as a vocalist. It's much more been as a communicator. You know, I want people to feel things when they hear a piece of music. I want it to really go straight to their heart and crack it open in ways that, you know, we don't really allow ourselves in everyday life, because I think that's where the power of music really exists. I want it to transport people. And you know, in this project in particular, you know, you take something like Duke Ellington's Solitude, and man, that's a soulful piece. And it has so much authority and presence in what it conveys through the music. Just the same as something like Vivaldi or Caro Mio Ben, you know, something that beginning voice students have been singing for centuries. It's kind of the same song. It's that same yearning for love, that yearning to be connected to something. And when I think of it in that way, of sharing that story and that emotion, I find that my voice kind of knows what to do if I let it. what I wanted to avoid with this album was that tendency to imitate or to try and become Ella Fitzgerald or, you know, one of those iconic things. I had to do that in the opera world, too, when I was starting out. I had to avoid that tendency to try and be Teresa Berganza or Federica von Stade, you know? It's like, how do I just let go and let my voice arrive as it is in this moment? And that was really, that was my criteria for this album as well.
And I'm wondering, so how are you able to do that? How are you able to not, you know, emulate some of these other iconic voices? And how are you able to really latch on to your own voice?
Well, I'll give you an example. We have on this album extraordinary jazz musicians. I mean, legendary titans and extraordinary people, which I knew I wanted. I said, if we're going to pull this off, we have to be surrounded by the best musicians. And we are. But we got into some discussions about some of the standards, like Solitude in particular, and about what key to sing it in. And the consensus with the jazz folks was that I should have a much lower key and really to sing it in the speaking range. And I get that, but if I had done that, it would have sort of taken away my ability to express with my trained voice. I couldn't come in, you know, all opera guns blaring on this because that's not the right style. But at the same time, I wanted access to all the colors that I have in my voice. So I sort of dug in and I insisted on singing it with my way because I didn't want there to be a distinct gap between the Italian and American pieces. And that's what we've ended up with. And so we have a Solitude that doesn't sound like Ella or Nina or Louis Armstrong. You know, it sounds like Joyce, but it's done with the sentiment of isolation and yearning. Just as I would do, you know, one of Sesto's arias from Giulio Cesare, one of these cara speme, you know, this continual piece that goes down to nothing and it's naked on the stage vocally. It's the same sentiment.
Thank you so much. What an honor to speak with you, and congratulations on this beautiful recording.
Katie, thank you so much, and thanks for giving it some attention. I appreciate it.